I'm not doing any research for anything legal or something. For the safety of everybody. Form and information of the shadows of our commercial affair. Such as when I come in a first night, so you don't even know. So you take time on all these things, but you can be in a good place. So I want to put it in my hand, but it's that time. And the second thing is this job, people send me the history. Hearing about what Lord Brahma saw, and we read quite one of the verses yesterday, and we'll read the rest of the purport, and we read some of the purport as well. And the purport is quite interesting. It's relatively long, and it has some interesting twists in it. And there's one more thing. Page purport after this event. Okay, so in this one, kala swabhava samskara kama karma guna divi swamahi dhvasta mahibir murtima bir upasitaha. This is what Lord Brahma saw. When he saw all the Vishnu forms changing into the calves, the boys and calves changing into their actual position as Vishnu forms. He saw many things, but this is one of the things he saw. He saw that kala, the time factor, swabhava, one's own nature by association, samskara, reformation, kama, desire, karma, fruit of activity, and the gunas, the three modes of material nature. Their own independence being completely subordinate to the potency of the Lord had all taken forms, were also worshipping those Vishnumurtis. So all the opulences in existence, and all living entities were worshipping the forms of the Lord. So here, the Lord's potencies. Now, let's hear what they are again. And see what these potencies all have in common. First, Lord Brahma saw that kala, the time factor, then swabhava, one's own nature, which comes by association, sanskara, reformation, kama, or the changing of one's nature, the uplifting of one's nature, kama, desire, karma, fruit of activities, and the gunas, the three modes of material nature, those five items, kala, karma, samskara, swabhava, and the gunas. Swabhava, samskara, karma, and the gunas. So these five potencies, or we would think of them as the principles that govern the material world, the three modes of material nature, our individual natures, samskara, the ability to uplift ourselves, and our karma, and the, that's probably five.
Desire.
Huh?
Desire.
Karma. Was that in there? Karma, yeah, desire. So, these are five potencies of the Supreme Lord, and the mode of passion gives birth to kama, the desires of the living entity. And the more one increases the mode of passion, the more one's desires increase. And of course this is a trick of Maya, because the materialistic mind thinks that if I have my desires fulfilled, then I'll become satisfied. And if I'm satisfied, I'll be happy, peaceful and happy. But it's exactly the opposite. The more we make the attempt to fulfill our desires, the more our desires increase and multiply. So, but our capacity to fulfill our desires remains the same. So that means the percentage of fulfilled desires in proportion to the number of desires that we have diminishes the more we have desires, and that means the more unfulfilled desires we have and the more dissatisfied we are actually. But in any case, that is, Prabhupada will speak about that soon. But these are the controllers of the material world. One's desires, the gunas, the modes of material nature, one's own nature, which is born of the modes of material nature, etc. And these are what push everyone from this way and this direction to that direction. And people experience it on one level as being pushed and pulled to do one thing after the next. But yet, there is an illusion that I'm just acting independently. I'm doing it because I want to do it. But actually, it's like being whipped and forced to act completely even against our own true, deepest desire, our ideal. So these potencies of Krishna, these five potencies of Krishna, as Brahma saw them, they all completely were subordinate to the Supreme Lord, even though they control us, the tiny, insignificant, controlled souls. They are all subordinate to the Supreme Lord. And therefore, their relationship to the Supreme Lord naturally is to worship Him. Now this is another anomaly of the Western culture, especially, that if one is subordinate to another in more, I would say, ancient cultures, one would naturally give respect to that other. Everyone from me was subordinate to the government or the king, or the modern so-called kings and the presidents or whatever, and was subordinate to the family members, were subordinate to the priests, etc. And traditionally, in the good old days, these persons were deeply respected, and that was just by the fact that they held positions. And of course, they were, in those days, people were more qualified and held positions. But naturally, when one has a position, or one's boss at work, then one would respect the person of authority because one is subordinate to him. This is completely natural. But in Kali Yuga, no one naturally has respect for anyone, or stating it the other way, everyone naturally disrespects everyone, or stating it another way, if that person wants me to respect him, that individual must prove 1,000 times that he's worthy of my respect. But we forget also that we're obviously tiny, insignificant souls. And therefore, it's actually that mood which comes with the contemporary culture, that very individual-centered. And that mood is exactly the opposite of the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the mood taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who taught of Manina Manadeva Kirtaniya Sadhari, that we're supposed to give respect to everyone and request no respect for ourselves. And again, in Kali Yuga, it's exactly the opposite, that everyone wants so much respect for themselves. And if anyone dares to cut in front of them in line or something like that, or even a worse offense, if there is an offense that's worse. But how dare you do this? This is my position. I'm the rightful owner of this place, and I earned it, etc. So no one is given respect. and it's getting worse, and it will get still worse. And even though it's a simple cultural and mundane thing on one level, it actually deeply affects the spiritual life of everyone. Because this is Kali's plan, and the way that it works is that the people, the authorities, the people who are naturally worthy by position of taking respect, they act in the most horrible ways. So therefore everyone has they naturally don't want to respect them. You can't say, well, you should respect them because of their position, because everyone's a liar and a cheater and a thief and this and a drunkard and a whatever and whatever and whatever. So even though it's intelligent not to give respect, it's actually just Kali Yuga. And it disturbs the natural order of things, because of the way that society is supposed to be set up and the way the culture is supposed to be set up is that it forms the mind in such a way that it makes it easier to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is actually how culture is supposed to be set up, that it makes it easier to give yourself and trust and fully respect and surrender to the Supreme Lord. So although one can't say that that the people are actually worthy of respect in positions of so many of them, still it's detrimental for us not to respect them, because it makes the software that is supposed to bring us to the position of service to the Supreme Lord and injects a virus into that software. So that's a somewhat a different point. But all these opponencies, and they're all worshipping the Supreme Lord because even though they control us, they're not the supreme controllers. Krishna is the only supreme controller. So that verse is mentioned also of Vidya quite a few times. So now here is Prabhupada's purport. No one but Vishnu has any independence. If we develop, so that statement is just so contrary to the way people think nowadays. Everyone is not only seeking independence, which they can never get, and by trying to be independent, people become more and more entangled in the complexities of material existence. But if you tell them that they're not independent, that they're completely dependent, it's they can't accept it, they can't see it, they can't believe it. But it's true, everyone is being whipped and pushed by the modes of material nature, by their natures which are affected, infected, and afflicted by the modes of material nature, etc. So no one but Vishnu has any independence. So it's such an amazing statement. That would mean, if we think we're independent, and we have no independence, or very minute independence, that we actually don't know what independence is, and we actually don't have the experience of what independence is. I once read a quotation by a sadhu who was completely renounced. He had no possessions. And he said that people just don't understand the freedom of independence that a sadhu has. Because he can sleep anywhere, he doesn't have to be home on time, he can do whatever he wants, he's not dependent on a boss, he can go this way, he can go that way, he's completely free because of his detachment from the material world. So that was what he said, people don't understand the independence, the freedom, the joy of the freedom that a sadhu has. So no one but Vishnu has any independence, because no one but Vishnu is free, fully free from the modes of material nature. If we develop consciousness of this fact, then we are in actual Krishna consciousness. We should always remember that Krishna is the only Supreme Master and that everyone else is his servant. Ekala Ishvara Krishna or Sabhavritya. But one, be one either Narayana or Lord Shiva, everyone is subordinate to Krishna. Shiva, Virin, Srinivasan. Even Baladev is subordinate to Krishna. This is a fact. Ekala Ishvara Krishna or Sabhavritya. Yare, Yache, Natchaya. According to his will, either directly or indirectly, we dance. Sayaiche kare nritya. One should understand that no one is independent, for everything is part and parcel of Krishna and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. This understanding, this consciousness, is Krishna consciousness, that we cannot be independent. So once one sees this, and this is described in the Bhagavad Gita, beginning especially in the 14th chapter, when the three modes of material nature are described, and you begin looking at the world, you see that everyone is simply being driven. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if there's someone who would like to help you. Do you have anything? But she's expert too. But not independent. There's something here. So once one captures this philosophical point of how the modes of material nature are controlling everyone, and if one has one's eyes open to that point, then when one looks at the world and the people of this world, you just see the modes of material and nature acting. And practically speaking, no one's alive. They're all hypnotized. Everyone's hypnotized by the modes of material nature. And when someone is hypnotized, they can do the most peculiar things, and then it's wonderful. Not even notice that it's peculiar. Did you ever see anyone hypnotized and do something peculiar?
Not really hypnotized, maybe pretending.
Did you ever see someone hypnotized and do something peculiar?
Not hypnotized, but it's a bit closer to.
See people do things peculiar, though. Everyone's seen that. But that's what it is, the modes of material nature, they place one under one's control and they bewilder one and make one do outlandish, foolish, self-destructive, or good things. So, that understanding that is Krishna consciousness, that no one is independent. Only Krishna is independent. And therefore we are subordinate to him, and therefore we should respect and serve him. Yas tu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Devataha Sammatvenaiva Vikcheta Tapashandi Bhavedhumam. A person who considers demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayan will certainly be considered an offender. No one can compare to Narayana or Krishna. Krishna is Narayana and Narayana is also Krishna. But Krishna is the original Narayana. Brahma himself addresses Krishna, Narayanam, Narayanas Tvam Nahi Sarvadehinam. You are also Narayana. Indeed, you are the original Narayana. So Brahma will say that a little bit later in his prayers in the next chapter. And that verse is very important because it is one of the main verses that Acharyas use refer to cite Krishna as even as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even even the source of the knowing. So now, so that's the first point that Prabhupada wants to make in the purport. Because all the potencies who are worshipping Krishna, Rama saw that. So the reason why they're worshipping Krishna is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is the only one who is ultimately suitable to be worshipped. So since those aspects of existence that control us worship Krishna, which is what Brahma saw. So therefore the conclusion is that
Krishna is the Supreme.
Yes, and we should worship
and independent.
Those who control us worship Krishna. So therefore we should also worship Krishna. So now Prabhupada, so having made that point about Krishna's position as the Supreme Lord and everyone subordinate and dependent upon him, subordinate to and dependent on him, now he's going to describe some of these different potencies. Kala, or the time factor, has many assistants, such as Swabhava, Samskara, Kama, Karma, and Guna. So one is the main one out of the different potencies, and that's Kala. And Kala closes in, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am time. Time I am, or I am time. And it's that time that really dominates this material world, and it pushes everything. It makes everything happen, and you can't, it's unstoppable. And it has different effects, and that's what Prabhupada calls this, the assistants. And these assistants, so we're controlled directly under time, and we're also directly under the assistants of time. Swabhava, samskara, kam, karma, and guna. Swabhava, or one's own nature, is formed according to the association of the material qualities and according to time. Aspects of our nature come out. The effect of time in itself isn't perceivable. We don't see time passing, but we see time passing indirectly by how it affects things. So if one has one's astrological chart kundalini drawn, then one sees this time, this kind of thing happens, and at this time, antidasa, mahadasa, nakshatras are changing, all these different things are changing. And according to how the time is moving, different effects come to us. So one, even one's own nature changes according to time. So swabhava, or one's own nature, is formed according to the association of the material qualities. Karanam guna sangasya sadasad joni jandasu. Sadasad swabhava. One's higher or lower nature. So the basis of material nature, according to that verse, karanam guna sangasya, because of one comes in contact with the three modes of material nature because of the bhunte prakriti janiha, immaterial nature, because we want a bhunte, we want to enjoy it, because that's what the immediate effect of false ego is that we want to enjoy. So that entangles us. So sad, asad, swabhava, one's higher or lower nature is formed by association with the different qualities, namely sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun. You should gradually, now Prabhupada's going to take this point about swabhava and how it's affected by the modes of material nature. And that we have lower natures and we have higher natures, because everyone is a mixture of the modes of different modes of material nature. So how, obviously, how to bring out the higher nature? Because everyone has a lower nature and everyone has higher nature. And how to bring out the higher nature? Now this is an important question because our life depends on it. So it's formed by the different qualities, namely sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun, which should gradually come to the sattva-gun, so that we may avoid the two lower guns. This can be done if we regularly discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and hear about Krishna's activities. Nasta Prayesha Bhadesu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. All the activities of Krishna described in Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning even with the pastimes concerning Putana, are transcendental. Therefore, by hearing and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, the Rajagun and Tamagun are subdued, so that only Sattvagun remains. Then Rajagun and Tamagun cannot do us any harm. So, Rajagun, this is described in the Bhagavatam and also in the Bhagavad Gita, 14, 17, 18 chapters, the different effects of the different modes of material nature, and how Rajagun and Tamagun are so destructive and so harmful to us. So we wish, naturally, no one wants to do harm for themselves unless they are really influenced by ignorance. So the natural question is how to lower the effect on us of the lower modes of material nature, tamagun and rajagun, and increase the influence, that's probably the best word, influence of sattva-gun modes. So what's the conclusion? Nasta Priyesha Bhadesu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamasvake Bhagavati. By hearing and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, the Rajagun and Tamagun are subdued, so that only Sattvagun remains. And Rajagun and Tamagun cannot do us any harm. So here is a prescription. Now, Prabhupada's going to continue with the same point, but from a different point of view. Varnashrama Dharma, therefore, is essential, for it can bring people to Sattvagun. Tado Rajas Tamo Bhava Kamalobadas Taye. Tamagun and Rajagun increase lust and greed, which implicate a living entity in such a way that he must exist in the material world in many, many forms. So, because everything is based on our desire, our situation in the material world is based on our desire, and we're directly influenced by Tamagun and Rajagun. We have so many desires, material desires, they force us to be in the material world because Krishna reciprocates with our desires. This is such an interesting point in Krishna consciousness, that our situation is based on our desires, previous desires and current desires. So what we wish to do is change our desiring. So if we want to change our desiring, we can't do it without changing the modes of material nature that affect us. So this recommendation, this first recommendation, change the modes of material nature that affect us, that's given here, is to Krishna Bhagavatam. And then the result will be to know most of the two nature. What was the word the Prabhupada used? Rajagun and Tamagun will be
reduced. Reduced.
Almost got it.
It was removed.
Reduced, but what's the word that you can remember? I'll give you a hint. S.
Subdued.
Yes, you win the apple. Later. So we want to decrease the effect of tamagun and rajagun because Because of them, lust and greed increases. That implicates a living entity in such a way that he must exist in this material world in many, many forms. Many, 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 many forms. Many, many, many terrible forms. Even millipedes. The snake. As soon as anyone sees the snake, what's the first reaction after they want to run away? You want to kill it. Or cockroach or something like that. I mean, there's so many different kinds of bugs. If you see an ant, you don't immediately want to kill it, but when you see a cockroach, you immediately want to kill it. So it has its different vibration, even. So just imagine your existence is such that as soon as someone sees you, they want to kill you. So what a fearful how, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're you. You're existing in that form. All you can do is sort of escape or fight back or something. So you must exist in this material world in many, many forms. That is very dangerous. One should therefore be brought to sattva-guna by the establishment of vanashrama dharma and should develop the brahminical qualifications of being very neat and clean, rising early in the morning and seeing mangalarti and so on. In this way, one should stay in sattva-guna, and then one cannot be influenced by tamaguna and rajaguna. Tadar rajas tamo bhava kama bhavadayas chaye cheta etar nabhidam stitam sattva prasivati. The opportunity for this purification. So the Prabhupada says it there, it sounds very simple. All you have to do, as if all you have to do is develop the brahminical qualifications, being neat and clean, rise early in the morning, see mangalati, and so on. But the so on is where it becomes a little difficult. And not only so on, but it's so on and on and on and on and on and on. You know, day after day after day after day after day. But although Prabhupada knows that it's difficult, he also knows the potency of Harinam, and he knows the potency of the Bhagavatam and the process. And he knows, he wants to tell us that, in the next line he says, that the opportunity for this purification is a special feature of human life. It's such an opportunity. So difficult as it may be, we should take the opportunity because it's rare. In other lives, this is not possible. Such purification can be achieved very easily by Radha Krishna Bhajan, devotional service rendered to Radha and Krishna. So if one's consciousness is fixed on Radha and Krishna, vidde sto kuru ke shalom, if Radha and Krishna are fixed in the heart, then all darkness goes away, all the contaminations of Kali Yuga. Savam harati chitto sto magava purushottama. All misgivings, all contamination goes away if we can somehow continuously fix the Lord in our heart. So, therefore, Prabhupada speaks about should develop these qualities, it's in our own interest. And therefore, because this kind of purification can be achieved very easily if we can do this, therefore Narottama Das Thakur sings, Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gainu, indicating that unless one worships Radha and Krishna, one's human form of life is wasted. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayogitaha Gyanyat Yasya Vairagyam. By engagement in the service of Vasudev, one very quickly renounces material life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement, for example, being engaged in Vasudeva Bhakti, very quickly come to the stage of being nice Vaishnavas. So much so that people are surprised that Malechas and Yavanas are able to come to the stage. That's so interesting, because the people who are surprised in a positive way, are the people who are not Malechas and Yavanas, the people who are very cultured and possessed of the good qualities and good culture and sattva. And the Malechas and Yavanas are also very surprised. how can these people have taken up this type of lifestyle? Especially they used to be surprised, but not in a wonderful way. But Prabhupada, this is his own experience, that the devotees, very much by the power of his association, were brought to so much a higher standard than was their nature. This is possible by Vasudeva Bhakti, but if we do not come to the stage of sattva guna in this human life, then as Narottama Das Thakur sings, Hari Hari Vifale Dhanama Gaino, there's no profit in gaining this human form of life. So the problem that occurs is that we follow the externals, don't come to the level of suffering so easily, and then gradually the rajagun and tamagun that are carefully hidden and kept very tightly behind our back, so to speak, they come out and haunt us and knock us over. So yet we want to come to the stage of suffering. So a very, very deep, a very deep surrender to the process is required, very prayerful and deep is required. Otherwise, those of us who are infected, afflicted, and infected by the lower modes, and they have incredible resilience to, they can one's mind so tightly. One has to become very humble also. Prabhupada continues. Sri Virāgava Acharya comments that each of the items mentioned in the first half of the verse is a cause for material entanglement. Kala, or the time factor, agitates the modes of material nature, and svabhava is the result of association with these modes. Therefore, Narottama Das Thakur says, Bhakta Sannivas, if one associates with bhaktis, then one's svabhava or nature will change. Our Krishna consciousness movement is meant to give people good association so that this change may take place. And we actually see that by this method, all over the world, people all over the world are gradually becoming devotees. As for sanskara, reformation, this is possible by good association. For by good association, one develops good habits, and habit becomes second nature. Therefore, Bhakta Sannivas, that people have the chance to live with bhaktis, then their habits will change. In the human form of life, one has this chance, but as Narottama Das Thakur says, Hari Hari Bifale Janama Goyinam, if one fails to take advantage of this opportunity, one's human life is wasted. We're therefore trying to save human society from degradation and actually elevate people to the higher nature. So that's how big Prabhupada saw what he was doing was, that not to even save one person or two people or three people, but to establish systematic means for saving through association and hearing the Bhagavatam and chanting Krishna's names and Vasudeva Bhakti, establish an ever-increasing amount of association, opportunities for association, so that people can gradually, as Prabhupada said, move forward in their spiritual life. And one more paragraph on the purport, and then we can discuss. As for kama and karma, desires and activities, if one engages in devotional service, one develops a different nature than if one engages in activities of sense gratification. And of course, the result is also different. According to the association of different natures, one receives a particular type of body, karanam guna sangasya doni jandasu. Therefore, one should always seek good association, the association of devotees. Then our life will be successful. A man is known by his company. If one has the chance to live in the good association of devotees, one is able to cultivate knowledge, and naturally one's character and nature will change for one's eternal benefit. So, how would Prabhupada react to the current Krishna consciousness movement where so few of the people who are involved in the Krishna consciousness movement are actually living directly in the association of devotees, as all the people were living more or less, not all, but more or less, other than in India where there was a congregation developing already, but all the people were living during the time when Prabhupada was in this world. So it's always live in the association of devotees. So it's the principle that is still true. And as close to the association of devotees as we can live, the more fortunate we are. And then we just get good habits in that way. And also, what Prabhupada's idea was actually, was that it's going to have rural communities so that people could maintain themselves in a simple way without having to have jobs and bosses and associate with people who are so tamaguni and all the rest, magical, because it certainly affects one's consciousness. So his idea was to have everyone can live in these self-sufficient rural communities. So it was, and thereby have more or less a vanashrama type of alternative culture or counterculture. But that never really happened for many reasons. And therefore, there's no choice for most devotees. They have to get a job and take care of their families in that way, and themselves and their families. And but you pay a price. I don't have to tell you. The association affects one's consciousness. So that was Prabhupada's idea. So what would he do now when so many people who have jobs, who are well placed, who do different things in the world? And what would he recommend? It's very hard to say. Probably we could see by how he acted in India where that was already to some degree established. He had people just maintain their positions, but he also wanted the self-sufficient communities to develop even in India. And he wanted at least when the people were older to be able to retire and go to the dhams, live in Mayapur, live in Vrindavan. You couldn't envision like Bhaktivedanta Hospital, something like that, with so devotional. Didn't come up. Any questions or comments on any of this? That's the end of this verse in purport of what Brahma saw. I'll ask it one question. What do you remember from it? What did Brahma see?
Issues. And then he saw the different energies like time,
yeah,
desire,
time, karma,
and karma activity, and samskara application.
Samskara.
Reformation. Yeah. Doesn't the samskara also mean impression?
Because
we usually have bad samskaras and they have bad impressions. But in this case, it's
Reformation. That's also under Krishna. Mm-hmm. That's also very interesting that our reformation of character is also under is worshipping Krishna. And the potency that elevates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Svabhava,
Guna, all these different controllers of this world.
It struck me here where Prabhupada said that devotional service can actually change one's nature. I mean, we know that, but we tend to think of it as like something that's a bit of a strain to sort of do some service in an effort to apply to it, but we're not thinking that. We're actually conceiving that that application and that those activities would actually bring about a total change of energy.
What is it? Bhakti, Bhakta, and Bhagavan. These three are not of this world. So that's why when one engages in bhakti, we tend to think of it as just a work, doing some work, but for Krishna, but it's actually a different energy.
Right.
And touching that energy is it shifts our consciousness. And usually it's done in the association of devotees too, or it's connected to devotees. So as Prabhupada mentions, it's very much that the connection, association with devotees is just the nature of the habits, tendencies. And the other way around, works the other way around too. If you engage in mundane service, which is the counter to bhakti in the association with mundane people, which is the counter of the material aspect of that formula for bhakti, then that also affects one's nature. And if you associate with drunkard type of people, you become a drunkard type of person. And engage in those kind of activities. And if you associate with passionate type of people, you start running in that direction. If you associate with earthy types, good types, mortal goodness types, and you start liking that kind of a thing too.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was in high school, I never met anyone who ever gambled or anything like that. You know, the people used to play bingo or something on that level. But when I was in high school, one of my close friends, his father loved to come to horse races and was thoroughly addicted.
Mm.
And he was also addicted. And I started following the horse races and I knew all the different horses and who the jockeys were and things like that. And just by association, you just pick up these things. I think I even went to the racetrack once or twice and lost $2 or something like that. But just when you associate, just the kind of the desires, they affect, afflict, and infect. It's catching, like the common cold of the flu. in that form.
The bhakti vriksha seems like some kind of protection. Like, I'm contemplating now because I'm in my own house, and it's like we're sort of stranded out there in our own house in Midland. Like, in one sense, like, it's very nice, but it's like you're away from devotees. So, at least you have the bhakti vriksha, it sort of makes your house, like, for some reason, to
do makes your house like.
I've been hearing many devotees around now, I've got these bhakti vrikshas going on.
I used to do one. Preach the Westerners, if you can.
Okay.
That'd be really nice. Because it's hard for people who are the Indian culture to relate to Westerners.
Yeah.
You can't figure out what to say. Because they have so many precepts, they take so many things for granted. You know, the faith in the deity, faith in the holy person, you know, they have tea lockets, you know. The books and everything, that's very natural for them.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us, they don't know what planet most of this stuff comes from.
Yeah, bhakti vriksha is more bringing it down to that sort of level. I mean, the Indians are Indianized, well, of course. That
well, they're Indianized because they don't have to be Indianized already.
But the bhakti vriksha is working in Russia and all these sort of countries.
Well, that's the thing, because then you stop thinking of it as your house, you stop thinking of it as Krishna's house, and you're living there as a servant. That's the principle of actually having a deity in the house.
Mm-hmm. It seems like it might offer some protection. So, I mean, this situation.
Well, Krishna really offers protection and purifies. You have to be practical according to the situation and the capacity. But
even just having a room in your house at the temple makes an incredible difference.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping that room really clean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have any of your chilas or?
We just have like a little altar with just pictures and stuff at the moment.
Don't have any of you?
No, because just for the time being, until we're set up and we're just there at devotees.
How many rooms do you have?
Three bedrooms.
So, do you have one as a temple room already?
We have the kitchen. We've been, because that area we've had as a temple.
We have three bedrooms, but only two people.
Yeah.
So you might have an extra bedroom.
Yeah, we could use a bedroom. But the bedrooms, it's just carpeted area and
But you have a room that you specially keep clean.
Yeah.
And nothing else goes on there except when you go into that room. There's nothing else that goes on in there. It really makes a difference.
Okay.
Remember when Lalita was a baby, when she was just born, we were living with a group of devotees in Brighton.
Yes.
And we made... nobody really could get together a temple room. They were just different devotees. Mm. And then you made one room into a temple room, and you actually made an altar in there, the big facade and everything, and it was amazing. It just built the whole thing up because we were all struggling to just be just babies and things like that. And it was remarkable because we were all struggling so much.
Mm-hmm.
So we should consider it as a rejuvenating force if we can.
Yeah, we're a bit worried because of this weather at the moment.
Season.
Yeah, they mentioned to us, Jane Mataji is taking care. Well, her name's now, if you just change her name.
Janashree
Mataji.
She's in Midland too, isn't she?
Yeah. She was asking us to take a Tulsi, but I was just thinking, but I took care of them before in winter time.
Mm-hmm.
They should be in a hot house. Our house is pretty cold, we don't have a heater. Mm-hmm. So I'm just sort of thinking.
Just give it a couple of months.
Give it a couple of months and, then she'd really be a good one for
the bhakti vriksha too. She'd be a good one for the bhakti vriksha.
Yeah. Well, Hema Krishna organizes it, so he comes around to each one of them each week or something, and he sort of helps host it. And I mean, Jane Maharaj's going around to quite a few of them as well. I think they come around and sort of help structure the whole thing, and after a while you take over it. Be nice to have some bogies come around.
Once a week. You need the support.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have the bodies come to your house.
Yeah.
One thing with Bhakti Bhisha is that the members should be more committed to the program. It should not be like if someone is just coming for 1 week and they won't be coming for next 2 or 3 weeks. So it's more of a big commitment. And the second version of Bhakti Bhisha, which is out, it goes on for 104 weeks, so which will take 3 years to complete. The whole Bhakti Bhisha. So there is a purpose.
So there's different things you could do. One is you just could have programs that you have some. There's different things you can do. This is just to bring some light into the. That's good. What happened if you had a kirtan in your house? What would the neighbors say?
I reckon we can get away with it because it's all Indians around the area. Where we just invite them. Yeah, we noticed like a lot of the houses around are Indians. We'll probably just put a letter in everyone's box for having a program. Either, if you, sorry, don't mind if we're making a little bit of noise for a few hours.
And you invite
them. And you can come over if you'd like, I guess. I don't think that seems to mind too much. The person next door is a FIFO on the other side of the building side.
The person right?
And then, one side the FIFO worker, so he's never there, and he just comes.
And the other side?
And the other side of the building.
Old couple.
Side.
Fine, fine.
And then all the other side is...
there's an old couple, you have to be careful not to disturb them.
What's it?
There's an old couple.
Old couple.
Where are they? Old couple? Oh, they're way here down, like... Because that's like in a little alley, sort of.
Prasad.
Yeah, I spoke to them.
They're very good at Prasad.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very good. I think that would be fine to have a program. That seems like a pretty easygoing street. We've got our own house with off wall everything. I mean, as long as we're not like, banging them, freeing or something.
If you meet anyone nice in Midland, you can tell them, about a gallery.
Oh, yeah.
We can work together on this.
We've always sharing houses with Kamis, and that was like, I wasn't even invited over to over, so now it's like, it'll be exciting. We're just trying to get it set up. So, if some Irish has come, maybe we can invite them with class. Something. But you have a class at our housewarming?
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to give class at our housewarming about the duties of the Grihastha?
I don't know. Too long. Can't remember anything.
I'll try.
What time is it now? 8?
Thank you.
You made up some little...